and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying that was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Praise be unto God for the reading and the hearing of the precious and eternal Word of God. Well, having a baby is an exciting thing. I don't care if you're the mother or the father. Usually the father has less sense involved in it than anyone else and goes crazy and cannot function very well at all. But having a baby is an exciting thing. It's a new life coming into the world. And most families are excited, can't contain themselves, and they can't wait to tell it. Just when the baby's born, man, we've got to tell it. And people are nowadays, you know, the instant the baby's born, the thumbs work and the electricity goes off and the name is spread out all through the country that the baby's been born. Hadn't always been that easy to get the word out. How many of you have seen the announcement of your own birth? Did folks send out something? My folks had an announcement sent out. It's still a copy of it at our house. And said there's a new boss at our house. And that's probably true, probably accurate, you know. It's a great thing we want to tell. We call our mothers, our fathers, our in-laws. We call our brothers, our sisters, and tell them about the birth of the baby. And we're excited about it. We should be excited about it. And you have to think, well, what does a king do when a prince is born? When it's a royal birth, well, how do they make that announcement? Well, we know how they do in England, don't we? They publicize it, and as soon as possible, the prince and the princess with the baby, they walk out onto a balcony and present the royal child to the world and to the nation, and it's a big deal. Well, what if God had a son? You talk about a royal birth, that's about as royal as you can get. What if God had a son? What if God only had one son? What if, you know, there was only one, only going to be one, the only one that there would ever be? What if he had a son? Well, it certainly would be a special thing, wouldn't it, if God had a son? And the fact is, God did have a son. And he was born not in heaven, but on this earth. And you have to say, well, how would God go about announcing the birth of his child? If God had a son, the only son that he ever had, never will have, if God had a son and he was the apple of his eye, the center of his creation, the center of everything he did, how would God get that out? Well, possibly he would send a royal messenger to Rome to tell Caesar. He rules more of the world than anybody else. Caesar has more power than anybody else in the world. He's taking care of all the things that are going on. Maybe he would send it to Rome. Well, no, actually he didn't. Jesus was born and grew old, without the Caesar ever knowing anything about it. Well, possibly he would send it to the high priest in Jerusalem. He's the head of all the religion in Israel and the Jews and everywhere. Perhaps he would send it to them. But the truth is, 2 or 3 years later, when wise men came asking about it, high priest didn't know any more than anybody else. He didn't know anything about it. God hadn't said a word to the high priest about it. Well, maybe he would announce it to the Sanhedrin. That's the equivalent of our Supreme Court and Congress combined. Maybe he would send it to them. They were the governing body over all the religious stuff and things that were going on in Israel. Maybe he would send it to them. Well, no, he didn't send it to them. Well, who would he send with the message anyway? Would he have a great company of people? Would they blow trumpets? Would they ride horses? Would they be an armed guard? How would they do it? How would God announce the birth of his son? Well, pretty logical thing. He would use an archangel. A great angel would come from heaven and not stand on the earth, but come to the earth and be suspended between heaven and earth and would announce the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he announced it, and you know, he announced it solo, the angel comes and there he is, and he announces the birth of Christ. And then suddenly, there's the whole multitude of the heavenly host with Christ. And we want to say singing, don't we? We just want to say singing. Angels we have heard on high, we want to say they were singing. In reality, it doesn't say they were singing, does it? The word singing is not in there at all. In reality, it says, he said. He brought an announcement, wasn't musical, and he gave out the announcement of the birth of Christ. And when he did, then the multitude of the heavenly host sang. No, it still doesn't say that. The multitude of the heavenly host began to praise God and glorify him in unison as they blessed the name of God for what he had done. Now, you say, well, how many angels came? I don't know. First of all, we don't know how many angels there are. John stabbed at it in the book of the Revelation, and he saw the multitude of the heavenly host. And if you multiply it out from what he said, it's like, he's talking about 100 million angels. I don't know if shepherds saw 100 million angels or not. I don't know if they saw one angel plus 25, or I don't know if they all appeared. We don't know how many angels God created. Angels are created beings. They weren't born. They didn't come about haphazardly. They each and every one were created by God, and they're ministering spirits. They can appear in flesh and blood. They can appear momentarily and invisible, or they can be invisible, and usually are. You don't. If you could see every angel that's around you, you might be startled to know just how many people are here this morning of the angelic kind. We don't know, but how would God announce his birth of his son? By the angels. They're ministering spirits, and he would send Gabriel to Zacharias and Elizabeth, to Joseph and Mary, to the shepherds on the hillside. He would send a star in the east to wise men. But in this story, he sent an angel. And suddenly, there's the multitude of the heavenly host. I don't know if they stretched all the way back in the heavens to where the shepherds couldn't see. I don't know if shepherds would be cognizant of 100 million beings standing in the air. But what they were cognizant of was that God had appeared to them in the middle of the night. That God had shown his glory, his power, and his majesty to them in the middle of the night. They weren't expecting it. They weren't looking for it. They weren't praying for it. No one knew it was going to happen. No one in Bethlehem knew anything about it. Kind of sad for the innkeeper, wasn't it? The Savior of the world was born on his property and he didn't know anything about it. Savior of the world was born there, and he didn't have a bed for his mother to lay in. Put her in the cow shed with the rest of the cattle. It's kind of sad for all of that. But the archangel came, the multitudes of the heavenly host came, and they gave the birth announcement of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, who did he send the announcement to? Who would he? The high priest? The Caesar? The emperor? Would he send it to the king, King Herod? Who would he send it to? Surely he would send it to the Pharisees. They were the religious crowd, the real religious crowd. They kept all the rules, dotted all the I's, crossed all the T's, and basically lived a good life, a stuffy one, a bad life in a way because they were prejudiced and hypocritical in what they did, but they were religious. No, wasn't to them. You say, well, who in the world would he send it to? The Sanhedrin? No, not to any of them. Not to any of the people I've mentioned before did he send it. To whom? To shepherds. Now, we have rose-colored spectacles because we look at the Word of God and we share the Word of God, but we see it through our eyes that we have today. Now, we like shepherds. I mean, my favorite picture of Christ is the one of course it isn't him, but he's carrying a lamb. He's taking care of the sheep. We like it because we know the 23rd Psalm. And we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. I mean, that'll make you feel all warm and fuzzy, won't it? The Lord is my shepherd. Not a shepherd. Not some shepherd. My shepherd. He's mine. I have a shepherd. And it's the Lord. He takes care of me. He leads me through the valley of the shadow of death. He has a rod and a staff that comfort me. He takes me to still waters and green pastures. He takes me right through the presence of my enemies and sets a table before me right in front of them. He takes care of me and keeps my back and takes care of me. And I read that Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I call them by name. So when we look at shepherds, we feel good about it. We feel great about shepherds. We think that it's a wonderful thing about the shepherds. And all of those things I said are true, by the way. But you have to understand, the people in the first century, when Christ was born, did not see shepherds like you see them. They did not see, you say, well, was it an illegal thing to be a shepherd? No, wasn't illegal. It wasn't anything like that. They looked down on shepherds from a social standpoint. They looked down to them as the lowest rung on the ladder of social climbing. You see, they were shepherds. How often does a shepherd have to stay with his sheep? 24/7. You say, well, don't the shepherd get Sunday off? Well, what's going to happen? If the shepherds all take off on Sunday and leave the sheep in the field, what's going to happen to the sheep? The wolf's going to get them. The bear's going to get them. The lion's going to get them. The thief's going to get them. So the shepherds cannot leave. The shepherds cannot leave the sheep and say, this is the Sabbath day. I'm going off to synagogue today. You sheep take care of yourself. It doesn't happen that way. They have to stay with the sheep. So they're out there night and day, taking turns to stay awake at night, keeping the fire going, keeping the wolves and the thieves and the whatnot away. The shepherds are on duty all the time. This means they cannot go offer sacrifices at Passover and Pentecost and other great feasts that they have. This means that they cannot go up on the Sabbath day and worship like everybody else does. They're stuck out in the field. And guess what? They don't happen to have a Motel 8 right beside the sheep place. They don't happen to have a Holiday Inn right beside the sheep place. What they have is just field. You say, well, I guess they had a watering trough. I doubt it. They had a creek. This means that these shepherds don't exactly smell like they just came out of a spa. These guys are kind of dirty. Their nails are dirty. Their hands are dirty. There's dirt ground into it. The clothes that they're wearing in cold weather might actually be a sheepskin, would be leather, would be rough, would be nothing at all like you would have to have on to go into the temple in Jerusalem. Now the Jews, in order to say they were clean from everything else that was ungodly and from the Gentiles that were around them, the Jews had this thing of washing. They had their feet washed when they came in the house. They washed their hands. Actually, they had defined how many times they would put their hands in water and how many times they would wash their hands, and they were very clean. These shepherds were not that clean. These shepherds were not that pretty. Their clothes were rough. Their manner was rough. Their language was rough. Their life was tough. They spent time at night out on the fields and hillsides. They were never off duty, and they could not do the niceties of society. They could not dress up. They could not do anything. So they were looked down on. The people in Jerusalem, the people in all the cities of Israel, the people that were priests, that were Levites, the people that were in the Sanhedrin, they looked down on the shepherds. So when God announced to the world His Son's birth, He did not choose the wise, nor the rich, nor the famous. He chose someone that everybody else looked down on. He chose someone that everybody else could not accept. You see, my friends, Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And Jesus Christ came to save and forgive the sins of the whole world. And Jesus Christ, when He came into this earth, was announced not to the high and mighty, not to the fancy, not to the intelligent, not to those who were the upper crust, but to the lowest of all people, to the lowest rung on the social ladder. He announced to shepherds that His Son had been born. You say, well, if you're sending out an announcement that your Son's been born, what do you say? Well, number one, because of the majesty and the power and the glory that was surrounding the angels, the shepherds were instantly afraid. You know, I hear people talk about angels appearing and talking to them, and sometimes I hear television evangelists talk about the Lord Himself sat down at the breakfast table with them, and they all sat around the table and talked to an angel, and they talk about angels appearing and talking to them, just like they had I had a drink of water and some milk this morning. Oh, and an angel came and sat at the table and talked with me. Well, when I read about people seeing angels in the Bible, I mean, we're talking about superheroes. We're talking about people like Daniel, talking about people like Ezekiel, talking about people like Isaiah, talking about people like the Virgin Mary of all things, and Joseph, and talking about people like Zacharias and Elizabeth. When people saw angels in the Bible, they feared and trembled. Daniel fell plumb on the ground, put his face on the ground and lay on the ground till somebody touched him and said, "Get up." John, who knew Jesus intimately when he was here on earth on the Isle of Patmos, when he saw the angels, shook all over and had to be touched. And angels almost always had to say the same thing when they appeared to somebody as an angel. Now, sometimes they appeared incognito. But when they appeared as an angel, they almost always had to say this one thing. And what was that? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And that's what these angels had to say to the shepherds. Because they were, you're sitting in the middle of the night around the campfire. You may be playing your little flute that you made out of a piece of wood. You may be strumming your little guitar thing like a lyre. You may just be sitting there telling stories or looking at the stars. And all at once, in the midst of heaven, there is this glorious person from heaven who is announcing to you the greatest announcement that's ever been made, that God has broken through time and history. God has broken through the universe and has sent His Son into the world, and He's been born just down the road a few miles. And they are terrified. But the angel says, do not be afraid. Why? I'm bringing you good news. I've come from heaven to bring you good news. Don't be afraid. This is good news. And what is the good news? A Savior has been born. Wow. A Savior has been born. The world is lost. The world is perishing. The world is going down to hell in a handbasket. The world is filled with woe and trouble. There are diseases that ravage whole nations. Diseases that are epidemic that take the lives of people everywhere. There are soldiers and armies marching across the land and destroying everything in their path. There are earthquakes and cyclones and storms of all kinds. The earth needs a Savior. And in the midst of all of that I just said, human beings are all rotten. The Bible said their heart was desperately evil, and they imagined evil from their youth. Men needed someone to save them. The Romans had looked for them. Each time they anointed a new emperor, they looked for him to be the Savior, but he wasn't. They religious leaders came and went in Jerusalem, and they looked for them to be the Savior, but they weren't. And the world had looked for a Savior. The world had looked for a way, and yet there was no way. The world was perishing. It needed a Savior desperately. It needed a Savior. And the good news is a Savior has been born. God has broke through and sent the Savior into the world. And who is He? He is Christ the Lord. Wow. Christ the Lord. See, we take those names for granted. We say Christ, we say Lord. We just take it for granted. You see, Christ, Christos, is a Greek word. It's a Greek word that in Hebrew would be Messiah. And it means the anointed one of God. We have been waiting ever since God spoke to Eve in the Garden of Eden when He threw her out after she had sinned and told her and told Adam, what? That from the seed of the woman would come a Savior who would stomp the serpent's head and destroy Satan's power. Men and women had been looking for that baby ever since. They had ever since, for over 4,000 years, been looking for that Savior to come. And tonight, He has been born in Bethlehem. And the angels have come to announce to the world. You say, to the world? How about that? You say, I thought He just announced it to the shepherds. No. And to all the world. Yes, to the shepherds. But to all the world, that Christ the Lord, the Messiah, the Lord, that's the same word when it says the glory of the Lord shone around about them. We're talking about Jehovah God. We're talking about the Almighty God. And yet it says the Lord has been born. Prophets had said that many years ago, that His name would be called Emmanuel, which is God with us, and that He would be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Yes, my friends, this is the message, the good news. The good news, a Savior has been born, Christ the Lord. And the light show broke out just when you think that it's as exciting as it can get. I mean, the angel standing there with the message in between heaven and earth, or floating or flying or whatever. He's between heaven and earth. And you see it, and then the light show, you think, man, this is exciting. This is just as much as it can ever be. And all at once, the light show shows up, and the multitude start saying glory to God, and the light shines all around them, and everywhere the light is shining and the glory of the Lord is there. And what are they saying? Peace on earth, goodwill to men, glory to God in the highest. Wow, wouldn't you like to have been to that meeting? Wouldn't you like to have been a part of that going on there that day? Peace on earth. And you know what? It has to be something different than we imagine peace. Peace to us is the absence of war. But people are at war. The fact is, the scripture said, whence come fightings and wars among you? How many of you know you don't have to be in the United Nations or be a nation in the world to have a war? I'm sorry to say, families are at war. Communities are at war. I see communities fighting each other. One gang over here, one gang over here. Communities fighting each other. Husbands and wives fighting each other. Children and their parents fighting each other. Children fighting each other. Nations not getting along. My friend, how could it be peace on earth when there's so much going on? How can it be so much misery in the world and it be goodwill to men? How can we say glory to God in the highest when all of this is going on? In fact is, when Jesus died on the way to the cross and he gave his last will and testament, you know, you remember how it went in John chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If this were not so, I would have told you. That great scripture that I love so much. But then he continues on down, and you know what he says? Peace. I mean, he's going to the most horrible thing that ever happened. I think it was Bill Gaither and Gloria that wrote about on the cross, about the battle that was going on the cross. Christ was hanging on the cross, and do you know he was fighting a battle up there? He was fighting a battle against his physical discomforts, against the agony of dying, against the shame of being who he was and what was being put on him. And Christ is hanging on the cross, and he's going through this horrible, horrible time of suffering, and there's a war going on up there on the cross, and there's war going on all over the earth. And yet, when Christ starts toward the cross, he says, I leave you peace. My peace I give unto you. And then what does he say? Not as the world gives, give I unto thee. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. My brothers and sisters, think about it. Peace. It can only be here. It can only be here. And even with the peace of God in our heart, even with the peace of God in our heart, there can be war all around us. There can be flying shafts coming at us from all around us. How do we have this peace? How do we arrive at this peace? Well, we don't get it by going to seminars. We don't get it by going to the United Nations. We don't get it by going anyplace. It is given to us as a gift from God. My peace I give to you. My peace I give to you. Think about that. My brothers and sisters, the peace that comes. Can we have peace? Yes, we can. Can we have peace even when the world is turning upside down and everything's going wrong? Even in the middle of wars and strife, in the middle of epidemics and earthquakes and all the things that's going on, can we have peace? Yes, we can. And I've seen that peace. I had a great uncle. Actually, I always say that, and it's not true. He's my great-great uncle. He was my grandfather's uncle. And my grandfather's uncle's name was Abraham Hilton. And he was the pastor of a Dunkard church over in Floyd County. And he had one child, a son. And and he was an undertaker down at Stewart. And unexpectedly, without any warning, he just dropped dead down at the funeral home one day. And Uncle Abe was old. And the question was, how are we going to tell Uncle Abe? What's going to happen to Uncle Abe? He's old and he loves his son. It's the only son he's got. His wife's dead and he has a son. He did marry later again and to Aunt Lily. How is he going to take this? How is he going to accept this? And yet I hope that if I ever have to face anything like that, I can have the peace that that old man had. I don't know what was wrong with him. He liked me when he was old and I was little. He'd take me on his lap and I'd feel his beard come down over my face, and he'd hug me at funerals and things, and we'd sit together. I'd sit on his lap. Maybe I reminded him of the son that was gone. But I'll never forget, they went in to tell Uncle Abe, and we all expected the worst. And a tear run down his cheek and into his beard. And you know what he said? The Lord has given. And the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, my friend, to have that peace. To have that peace that that old man had. Never one word of rebellion against God. Never one word did he lift against the Heavenly Father and say, why did you do it to me? Or why is my life like this? But he took that peace that God had given him and bless the name of the Lord. There are people in the world, in the midst of this troubled world that we live in, that have that peace. The shepherds heard the angels say, you'll find the babe. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And they took off for Bethlehem, said, let's go see. Let's go see this thing that the Lord has done. And they ran. How do you know they ran? With haste. It's very clear. They hurried. They had to see. Oh, that people would run to meet God. People would run to a relationship with God. And they made haste and they ran to Bethlehem. And they found the babe like the angels had said. And they told Mary and Joseph. And then you know what they did? They did what they couldn't help but not do. They had to tell everybody they met. Everywhere they went, up and down the street, Lucille, it reminds me of when Annie told me they got the Holy Ghost up at the Church of God in Kellysville at 3 o'clock in the morning. They were so happy, her daddy and the folks were praying up at the Church of God in Kellysville, and they were so happy to be filled with the Holy Ghost that they ran out of the church door, the little cinder block church up next to the East River there. They ran out of the church and up and down the roads at Kellysville, knocking on the doors. We got the Holy Ghost. We got the Holy Ghost. God had come down and blessed them. It's an exciting thing to meet the Savior, isn't it? It's an exciting thing to meet God and to know God. And when they said, let's go tell it on the mountain, surely over the hills and everywhere, the shepherds ran through Bethlehem, ran through Judea, ran through the hill country, and told the world, a Savior has been born. A Savior has come into the world. My brothers and sisters, this morning, I ask you, have you met Him? It's an exciting thing to meet the Lord. You know what? I stopped to see Wally this morning, and when he came in the other night, he was just so sick, and I felt so bad for him. His lips were trembling. He had no color. And he just was in terrible shape, grossly dehydrated. And this morning, after multiple injections from an IV and all that, you know what I caught him doing when I got to the hospital? Witnessing to a nurse who wasn't a Christian. He was saying, I want to see you in heaven. And if you don't know Jesus, you can't go to heaven. And he was telling her the story of Jesus. He said, oh, and this is Reverend Eddie Kendall coming. Well, I was beside the point. The wonderful story is that he told the good news of Jesus to anyone he could meet. And my friend, you remember that old song we used to sing? I said I wouldn't tell it to a living soul. How he brought salvation and he made me whole. But a founder couldn't hide such love that Jesus did impart. Because it makes me laugh and it makes me cry. And it sets my sinful soul on fire. Hallelujah, when God dipped His love in my heart. Have you met Him this morning? Have you met the baby that was born in Bethlehem? Have you met the Savior that came down from heaven that angels rejoiced about and came to tell us about? I have a good news announcement this morning. God has visited this planet. You don't have to worry about the first aliens that will visit this planet. People from outer space have already been here. In fact, they've been coming and going for a few thousand years. So don't be alarmed, my friend, and don't worry about spacecraft. These guys don't need anything. They just go and come when they want to. And my brothers and sisters, He has come. The good news, I have good news. A Savior has been born. Unto us, a child is given. Unto us, a son is born. The government shall be on His shoulders. And of His kingdom, there shall be no end. My brothers and sisters, if you don't know Him this morning, you need to know Jesus Christ the Lord. And if you do know Him, you need to know Him more intimately than you ever have. And you need to accept His forgiveness and accept His free pardon of your sins and walk in the light. Would you bow your heads and hearts with me? Our Father and God, this morning, I thank You for the opportunity to be here. I thank You for the opportunity to share the precious and eternal Word of God. I thank You, Father, for the hope of salvation that has been given to us. Bless us, Lord. Bless us with Your Spirit. Touch us with Your grace. Cover us with Your glory. Touch everyone who hears this message, those here and those by transmission. And Father, we pray, if there's a lost soul listening this morning, that they will be touched by the power of God. Father, if there's a lost soul listening anywhere, that they will be touched by the hand of the Most High. And Lord, that Your Spirit and Your power and Your grace will be with us to save the souls of men that You came to save. Father, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.